powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross. Here we go
now. This hour of Bump and Stacy is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. We've got Gary Hill of the Mariners Radio Network in with, I was going to say in studio. We're not in studio. We're live at T-Mobile. Before I get to Gary, though, I got some roster moves for you guys. Let me run through these. Taylor Trammell has been placed on the 10-day IL. Kevin Padlo has been optioned to AAA Tacoma. Outfielder Marcus Wilson and infielder outfielder Sam Haggerty both brought up from AAA Tacoma. Tom Murphy transferred to 60-day IL formality. We knew that his season was done. He's opting to have surgery. So the big news, Taylor Trammell placed on the 10-day IL. Marcus Wilson and Sam Haggerty up here. Kevin Padlo also optioned down. No Jared Kelnick, Gary.
No Jared Kelnick. They have been very upfront by saying that they will bring Jared Kelnick up when they feel it's Jared Kelnick's time and not circumstances. And boy, they held true to their word here. And we'll see. That could change. I mean, you never know when he may come up. But, yeah, I thought there could be a chance, but it looks like no, not this time around.
Gary, we saw Trammell get hurt last night. What is this team losing with the loss of Trammell?
It's really too bad because he has been really good since he came back. And it's a shame because he had a hamstring injury to start the year, essentially, as well. And he came right back. And he has been a big part to what they've done and really solidifying the outfield situation. They had a nice platoon going when everyone was healthy with kind of Moore and Trammell out there. And it really solidified a spot in the lineup because his slash was really good. He was good in the outfield defensively. A young player, it's funny, he has been on every list forever as a top 100 prospect. He's been around for a long time. It's a name we've heard for a long time. And sometimes, you know, it's a name you hear and you think that, well, this guy's been around forever. He's a young player. You know, this is his age 24 season. So he had an opportunity. He was taking advantage of the opportunity. And it was looking like one of the real wins, and I think it still is, one of the real wins this year for the Mariners. And they have had a lot of wins with young guys this year. And some of them are the obvious. You know, Julio, who has been magnificent. He's been better than you could possibly imagine. You could throw Gilbert. You can throw Kirby into that mix as well. Cal Raleigh, Trammell into that bucket. That is a lot of wins with young players. It's just unfortunate that they'll be without Trammell for a while.
Gary, we spoke with your colleague Rick Riz yesterday during the dugout, and I have to say, hearing him talk about the Angels throwing to Julio, throwing at his head, maybe the angriest I've ever heard Riz. Did you feel the same?
Yeah, I'm still really upset about it. In fact, I think Phil Nevin got off light. I think he got lucky that it was only 10 games. I think if you look at this from MLB's perspective, I wish they would have dropped the hammer a little bit more. Because think about it this way. Julio is one of the great young stars in the game. When you think about the great young stars, Vlad, Acuna, Bobby Witt Jr., Julio, he's in that list. If you're MLB, you can't have an opposing manager send out a mercenary to go get a player like Julio. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. He sent out a mercenary to go get him. And on top of that, they didn't hit him. That should have been it. Like, you don't get a second crack at it. You can't hit Winker as well after the fact. I thought the Angels looked so bad when it's all said and done. Phil Nevin looks really bad when it's all said and done. They instigated the entire thing. And it's a shame. It's funny, too. I don't know if you saw last night the Angels playing the White Sox, and Trout got a pitch exactly like Swanson last night from Joe Kelly. We'll see if there's any ramifications today between the White Sox and Angels.
Gary, is that a forgivable offense what Nevin did, or do you think that's going to affect his coaching career here in the majors?
It's a great question. It's a really great question. I'm not sure. This is his first chance, and I was thinking about it, too. You know, you have Mike Trout, who loudly complained after the Swanson pitch, right? So you are the interim manager of the Angels. I feel like, you know, maybe he felt like he had to do something. Maybe he would have anyway, but maybe he felt like he had to do something when your guy, when Mike Trout, when you want that job, like you're the intern, but you want to be the Angels manager, maybe you felt like you had to go over the top. And I don't know if that helps or hurts his case with the Angels. I know now that he's managed 19 games and he's been suspended for 10. I don't know how much that that helps your cause or not. I don't know. I don't think he ends up looking good for the rest of baseball, to be honest.
Man. Let's talk about life without one of these players. I'm guessing, Gary, that it'll be staggered suspensions, maybe lessened a little bit. But in your mind, what's the challenge here for this club?
Well, there's a lot of challenges. I do think the suspensions will be lessened just given history. I remember, just for a little context, I don't know if you remember Amir Garrett from the Reds. He attacked the entire Pittsburgh Pirates dugout, which is one of the greatest of all time. If you've never seen it, you can go back and look. He initially got a 7-game suspension. That was taken down to 5.
Yeah.
So just kind of guessing, I would guess that Winkers will be taken down a couple games and Crawford's will be taken down a couple games, which will really help. Because really what you're looking at is with staggered suspensions, and then we'll see what happens with Julio, of course. Mm-hmm. You're looking at least a week being a man down on the roster and being without one of those guys.
Right.
And it really compounds what is already a problem. It's well documented. You're already playing without Haniger and Lewis, and you're going to be without France for a little bit as well, and we'll see how long that is. So you already have holes in your lineup. The lineup has been up and down already this season, and that's not going to help, especially now. Winker has been really good the past week and a half, 2 weeks. I mean, he's hit the ball really hard, and he's been the guy that we expected to see. He's been excellent. So that's the deal. The way I look at the situation is the pitching gets the burden, and the starting rotation has been really good, with the exception of Kirby a couple nights ago. For a month, they have been really good. And with the current scenario, they're going to have to stay really good. And the bullpen has solidified. The bullpen has been solid, especially in the back end. When they get handed leads, the reality is they're probably going to be 1-2-run leads. And so they're going to have to hold the leads. And is it fair to ask the rotation to keep pitching like they've been pitching? Probably not. Is it fair to say, hey, bullpen, you can't lose any leads? Probably not. But that's the reality. I think games like last night is kind of the script for the team right now. Excellent starting pitching, lockdown bullpen, and scrap and fight and claw for every run you can get to get wins. Because they're in a situation, this is a big stretch. I think the Mariners need to crawl close to 500 or 500 by the All-Star break. And to do it, they have to go on a nice run to get there. And they have a schedule where they can do it, but it's not going to be easy.
We've been sitting here talking about Julio, Stacy, and I, and we're like, look, is there ever going to be a drop-off? Like, can we believe in this guy? And I think we're both bought in. Is that safe to feel that way about Julio? And if there is something that you feel like he needs to get better at, what would that be?
Oh, that is such a great question, because I do feel like with any rookie, like, yeah, there should be a drop-off, because baseball is incredibly hard, especially right now, and young players fail all the time, especially out of the gates. And what we've seen from Julio has been ridiculous. He's been amazing. And there were some struggles to start the year, but outside of that, he's been incredible in all aspects of the game. At the plate, he's been great in center field. On the bases, he's been excellent. He has been better than you could possibly have imagined. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. Will we see a drop-off? Like, we could, but I watch him every day. He is so good, and he's so talented, and he wants it so much. He plays with so much joy, too, which is fun. He loves his teammates. He loves the fans. It is the whole package. He is everything you could possibly want. So I'm not expecting a drop-off with him. I'm actually expecting him to get better and better as we move through this thing, which is ridiculous given what we've seen so far. Like, we've seen tremendous power at times. We haven't seen like a home run binge, which I think we could see at some point. Like, he's that good. The power is big power is in there. Like, he is going to hit in his career in a Mariners uniform. He's going to hit some titanic shots. And I also think he's going to be a bench guy, too, where there are stretches where he just goes wild with home runs. Will we see that this year? I don't know. But he is on just a different level. He really is. And especially compared to other rookies and other players his age. It's unreal. It really is. He is. I think he's going to be a superstar in this game for a long time.
Love hearing that. Don't.
I am here. I don't know if I hear you, though. I hear you because you're in the next room, but I don't think I hear your microphone. Should I just keep like talking out loud until
Gary? Do you hear
me?
There we go. We got it, Gary.
All right. I was going to sing or something until you got back.
I wish you would have just taken over the airways. I was going to say, Bump and I have we have our good question tracker going. Bump's gotten three so far. I'm very upset, but I don't necessarily have a good one. It's kind of a bummer news, but about a very good player, very exciting player. What was up with George Kirby the other day?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Let's go.
No problem. I mean, it's just. I just think it's one of those games. I think it's really hard, especially as a young player, to be on your game every single time you come out. And Baltimore is a very underrated team, especially offensively. They're buried in a really good division. They've made some pretty good strides. And I think they were very aggressive with him. They jumped on him, and they hit some homers. I mean, I just think it's as simple as that. And I think that's something that you're going to see with young pitchers. We've been fortunate. Like, Gilbert hasn't had, you know, he's been pretty steady since he came up, and it's been pretty amazing that we haven't seen much of that. And with Kirby, like, out of the gates, he's been great. But that kind of stuff happens, and I don't think that's going to be a sign of things to come or anything like that. It's just one of those days, unfortunately.
Do Logan and, I feel Ty's going to make the All-Star team. What are your thoughts on Logan and his chances?
I think he has a great chance. I like Logan's chances. I hope Ty makes it as well. We'll see how this injury plays into it, whether he can come back or not. But you look at where Gilbert stands in terms of, like, ERA, for example. He's one of the ERA leaders in the American League. Now, the competition is really fierce, and, of course, every team has to have a representative, and that plays into it. But right now, Logan's top five in ERA in the American League. His innings are way up there, too. He's one of the innings leaders in the American League. He's going to be at or near 100. Robbie Ray, by the way, leads innings in American League, which is pretty impressive. Among strikeout leaders as well. I mean, Gilbert, his resume is there. I mean, I think he deserves to be an All-Star. You never know how that stuff plays out. I think even if he is not initially named, there's always a couple guys that end up starting close to the game. So they don't end up on the roster and guys are added. I think we will see Logan Gilbert as an All-Star, and I think he's well deserved of it.
Gary, I know that you're going to spend all day and all week once you guys preview the A's talking about the two upcoming series, so I don't want to spend too much time on it just for your sake, since you've already got to talk about it plenty. But one last question here, just a little baby preview of this finale. You feeling good about the Mariners' chances today?
Yes, I do feel good about the Mariners' chances today. I feel like they have a chance to take the series, which is really good. And as I talked about it, it's a big stretch, and I think this is an important game to get. It's interesting when you look at the schedule the rest of the way before the break. I think the series coming up with the A's is a big one. I think that's a series they want to get to, which is a four-game series. And then this is the week after, too, is huge because they have two games against the Padres, good team, and then four here against the Blue Jays, which is going to be an enormous series. Depending on how you work the math, try and get a split in Texas, maybe take that series, maybe take a couple from Washington, a team that struggled this year. But that Blue Jays series really stands out because they are a really good team. They pack a huge punch. They've had some starters that have struggled, so maybe the Mariners can take advantage of that. But if the M's are going to get close to 500 before the All-Star break, they need to take at least a game. A split would be great in that Blue Jays series. But that four-game weekend set next weekend, that's one I am circling. That's going to be a huge series.
I absolutely agree with you. I know Bump does, too. He is Gary Hill, the Mariners Radio Network. Gary, thanks for taking the time.
Anytime. Can I relay something about Bump? Do we have time?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, because I feel like I need to be up front here about something with Michael Bumpus.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah, this is really important.
Okay.
So whenever I hear the name Michael Bumpus, because, you know, I'm driving around listening to the listening to the show, as people should.
Yes.
And when I hear your promos, when we're doing the games, in my head, whenever I hear the name Michael Bumpus, it gets played back as Michael Bumpus. I hear your name as Bob Robertson every single time. Michael Bumpus of Washington State University, the Cougars. So I just I thought you should know that.
That's amazing.
That in my mind, your name always is played back as Bob Robertson.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
I just thought you should know.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes.
Thanks, Gary.
That's not weird at all. It's
not completely normal. Never at all.
Yes. Now you know.
Thanks. I love Gary. All right. We are taking you around the diamond thanks to Chain Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Chris Flexen and the Mariners take on Baltimore. And Curtis, what did you write? Take on Baltimore and Kentwood boo alum Austin Vogt. And this series finale today, pregame immediately follows us at noon. First pitch is at 1:10 p.m. on Seattle Sports Station. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down. I really like this question, but I will not tell you good question. I really like it, though. The backup quarterback can be one of the most popular positions on a team when the starter isn't getting it done. So, Bump, which projected starting quarterback should be looking over his shoulder this year?
Not only one quarterback. I got several quarterbacks going to be looking over their shoulder.
I like that.
First, we're going to go to New York and Danny Dimes over there. Danny Dimes, it's been a couple years. He hasn't really gotten it done. You see some athleticism. He'll show you a glimmer of hope, and then he'll snatch it from you real quick. Tyrod Taylor's over there.
Ooh.
He is like the all-time one of the greatest backups because the potential's crazy with this dude. He got a tough deal over with the Chargers. He got hurt earlier in the season. But everywhere he goes, he kind of lingers. And if you let him play a couple games, he'll make some noise. My next one, Matt Ryan over there with the Colts. Guess who's backing him up? Super Bowl champion Nick Foles is over there.
There you go.
Backing him.
Curtis doesn't have a mic, but bear down on behalf of
Bear down of Curtis, for Curtis Rogers. Nick Foles is like one of the greatest backups of all time. You let him play as a backup, he'll ball out. You let him start the season as a starter, not so much. He's got to watch his back over there. Other one I got, Marcus Mariota. You got Desmond Ridder over there in Atlanta. As soon as Marcus Mariota struggles a bit, the crowd is going to be calling for Desmond Ridder and for good cause. The guy only lost like one or two games in college. He's like second most wins at the quarterback position in college. Desmond Ridder, I think, is going to be a good player in this league. And the last one, whether it's Drew Lock or it's Geno Smith, both those guys, if they get a chance to start, they got to look over their shoulder. Because as soon as they start to struggle, people are going to question, should they have gone for Baker if he doesn't show up? Should they have gone for Jim if he doesn't show up? What are they going to do with that quarterback spot? As a starter, there's only like five guys in the league who are good to go. You don't have to worry about your spot. But these scenarios I mentioned right here, all these guys better look over their shoulder.
Take Seattle out of it with just those other guys that you mentioned. Who would you be most curious to see? Like, that guy gets the start, you're watching that game.
Desmond
Ridder, right?
It gotta be Ridder.
1,000%. All right, second down. Jason McCourty gave his top five trash-talking wide receivers he played against. As a consumer, who is your top five trash-talker list?
My top five. We're going to start at number five. I'm going Ocho Cinco. But he's like the friendly but disrespectful trash-talker. He's going to ask you about your day. Then he's going to insult you. Like, Ocho had this down. Yeah, he had it to an art. Number four, I'm going to go John Harbaugh. He's like the clueless trash-talker. Like, I'm just going to run by you, slap you on your back, and act like nothing happened and move on. I'm going to say something in the press that I might not take as offensive, but everyone else is going to take it as offensive. John Harbaugh's on that list. Number three, Tom Brady. He's a snobby trash talker. Like, man, I'm the GOAT. I've done this. Get your butt to the side. Like, there's an arrogance with Tom Brady when he talks trash, and I love it, and he can do it because he is the GOAT. Number two, Jalen Ramsey. He's the research trash talker. He goes to your IG, he finds your girl, he DMs her, he goes on Twitter, talks about your mom. Like, he does his research. He does this for a living. This is what Jalen Ramsey does. And then my number one trash talker is Phillip Rivers. He's the G-rated trash talker. He's not going to curse at you. He's not going to say one bad word to you, but he's going to be so disrespectful. And he has six kids. So he has the patience to deal with you. He's like, look, I'm gonna string this thing out for four quarters. I have the patience. Those are my top five trash talkers.
He's like, you ever driven in a car with six kids? Nothing you say will bother me. Nothing
at all.
Phillip Rivers also seems like someone where you trash talk back, and all of a sudden he's pointing to the ref, like, what is this guy doing? Get in. Third down. What position battle on the Seahawks are you most intrigued to see play out?
Now, I got an honorable mention position battle because I know these guys are going to rotate, but it's that interior defensive lineman, like the Quinn Jefferson, Shelby Harris, Puna Ford, Brian Monet, Al Woods, Miles Adams. Like, you're going to see all of those guys. So there's going to be a rotation there, but there's going to be a slight battle there. But the position you got to look at is the cornerback position. You got Trey Brown over there. You got Marquise Blair, who's in the secondary, right? Is he a nickel guy? Is he going to play safety? Is he a corner? It's all the secondary. You got Sidney Jones. You got Artie Burns, Tariq Woolen, John Reed. I mean, everybody's going to get a shot at this because there hasn't been a guy over the past few years to just hold down one side of the field. The guy who did last year is now playing with the Jets. That's DJ Reed. So you look at this corner position. What's this preseason going to look like? How many of these guys are we going to see? As soon as one guy makes a play, he separates himself from the pack. So these guys have to keep making plays. There's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of unproven talent over there. So I look at that cornerback spot and I'm saying, who's going to be the guy?
Fourth down. Bump, you got a lot of choices with this one. Which 2021 playoff team will have the biggest drop-off in 2022?
Now, that's a tough one. And I'm going to go with, there's two teams that I'm looking at.
Okay.
I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers. People are going to say, you're crazy, Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, okay, but let's realize that he lost arguably the best receiver in the game in Devontae Adams. But I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm going with them because they have the fifth strongest schedule in the NFL. You have a rookie quarterback. You have a receiver who did everything, who doesn't want to do everything anymore. He wants to be simply a receiver. This defense was banged up last year. They have to bounce back. I'm not saying they won't make the playoffs, but I think we're going to see a different brand of football. 49er fans are going to realize what Jimmy meant to them. Ooh. He kept the party going, right? He wasn't the center of attention. He wasn't the life of the party, but he kept the party going. Now you're going to ask Trey Lance to step in and do his thing. I think eventually Trey Lance is going to be okay, but he's a rookie. Beginning of the season is going to be tough for this young man. So it's Green Bay and the 49ers, but I'm going to lean towards the 49ers simply because of the quarterback spot.
I only left you a minute for a really tough question, but an add-on question. Why haven't we seen Trey Lance earlier?
Exactly. Why haven't we? So if we haven't seen Trey Lance earlier, that means during the week he's not doing enough to win the job. Everyone in the stands is yelling for Trey Lance. Get him out there. Get him out there. As a coach, you're going to play guys that you trust. And that's why Jimmy was out there, because they trusted him to keep the party going. Trey Lance has a lot to learn. I think he's going to be fine, but he's still young. It's not a rookie, but this will be like his rookie season if he gets these starts.
Well, he was very inexperienced because he had a limited college experience. He had essentially one fantastic season at North Dakota State?
North Dakota State.
And then after that, he didn't really have much because of COVID.
And he set out. And
so it was like we've seen everything he can be, but who knows what we're getting with this guy? You really have no idea. So it'll be, I'm very fascinated to see San Francisco this year because that could really go either way. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. The Timeline coming your way next.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It is The Timeline on Bump and Stacey. If you hear background noise, some AC/DC or whatever was playing earlier, we are live at T-Mobile where guys are going through some warm-ups right now on the field. We got some music going, and we are getting you guys ready for your day with some funny stories from The Timeline. Is this one funny, this first one? Let's go through it. I wouldn't say injuries are ever funny, but this one certainly is ironic. Angels reliever Archie Bradley was placed on the IL with a broken elbow after he fell over the dugout railing during Sunday's brawl with the Mariners. Now, Bump, injuries are never funny, even if everyone in Seattle is mad at the Angels. But in a weird twist, Bradley's official nickname on MLB.com is Crash Landing.
Oh, man, it is funny. I don't care. This is funny. And I bet you, if he has kids, the story's just going to grow. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, man, I was in the scuffle, man. I swung, I missed, and I hit my elbow. The kids be like, Dad, I'm on YouTube, and you fell hopping over.
I took on six players.
Yeah, it's a tall tale. It's going to grow. It's going to grow.
I just can't believe the crash landing one. Like, I mean, it's a little too perfect.
Well, it's wild, too, how the Angels still feel like they're vindicated in what they did.
Yeah.
And it's like you lost one of your relievers to a broken elbow, which is not an easy injury to come back from, especially when you're paid to throw things. Your idiot closer throwing seeds and gum onto the field. You lost your manager
My
for 10
current
games.
Phone background.
Was it all worth it? to throw at Julio and to throw at Jesse Winker, there's no way you can sit back and be like, we showed them.
And what we were talking about earlier, Bump, with Gary, the idea of Phil Nevin potentially hurting his own legacy, his own odds to be a permanent manager.
Yeah, Nevin, that's such a bad look for that dude. Such a bad look. And I was surprised when I saw Nevin at the plate last night. I was like, oh, snaps. Nevin's son. Plays for Orioles. Did not know that.
Yeah,
pleasant surprise.
Nor did I. Next story here in the timeline. I'm taking a break from sports for 10 seconds here. It's very important. National news. Taco Bell confirmed they are currently testing a Big Cheez-It Tostada and a Big Cheez-It Crunch Wrap. Why does this matter? I'll tell you. First of all, this is a very Taco Bell focused show. Curtis and myself, huge fans. Bump, I hope you are too. Secondly, because the Cheez-It, there is literally a Cheez-It in this tostada, in this crunch wrap, that is 16 times its regular size.
Let's go.
Let's go.
16 times the Cheez-It?
The best part is a response to this story, which was on CNN's official Twitter account. Someone said, how is this real food? And Curtis, in response, someone said something like, it's called culinary experimentation. Okay?
It's the sign of a strong culture.
Sounds a bit excessive to me. And I'm a Taco Bell guy, I guess. But the greatest thing to me the Taco Bell ever did was make Doritos tacos.
Oh, yeah.
Those were
fire. No, it's ingenious is what that is. It's not just fire. It's thinking with your third eye. It's thinking outside the box, if you will.
Or outside the bun.
Inside the bun. Outside the bun. What's looking back at it, what's the most you've ever eaten in a city? Like, you went out and you were like, I need some fast food immediately. You were an athlete, so I'm guessing you could put back a lot.
Believe it or not, as a kid, they always said I ate like a bird.
What?
But 2 p.m. and Pullman, 2 a.m., excuse
me,
Pullman.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 p.m.
2 a.m. and Pullman.
No one's out at 2 p.m. and Pullman.
After a long
night.
No
one's the same person at 2 a.m. and Pullman.
I used to put down maybe like 6 to 8 tacos, 2 junior bacons, and large fry with a strawberry shake all day.
JD in the 509. That's disgusting. You're disgusting, JD. Next story. Former Nationals pitcher Sean Kelly told a great story about how he paid off a debt he owed to Max Scherzer. So this was the debt. Apparently, Max Scherzer is a guy notorious for finagling money from people. There's already an existing story of him taking a draft pick from a fellow fantasy football member just because he could make it happen. Not like give it to me, but like just a flex of his power and ability to do this. Well, Sean Kelly was a reliever. They were on the same team, obviously. And he owed him, I don't know, something a little over $1,000, let's say, from all these NBA bets, playoff bets that he was making. And so Max Scherzer comes up to Sean Kelly and he says, all right, I'll take off $1,000, right? If you do this. So he tells him, go out there, throw a warm up pitch and just turn to the ump and say, bleep it. I'm ready to go.
Just one warm-up?
Yeah. So he says, this pitcher, relief pitcher, I took a bunch of warm-up pitches in the bullpen. I went out there, I threw one warm-up pitch, and I said, hey, I'm ready. The ump was like, what? And I'm like, no, I'm ready. Let's go. It didn't go real well, but I did get some of my money back. Of course, I look at the dugout, and Max Scherzer's just grinning ear to ear.
That is awesome. What's standard? What, they take like 8 pitches before they're ready to go?
Yes.
Rogers? Yeah, so he threw one. Bump probably has his mask off. He's having a conversation. He's not even ready. He's like, no, I'm not ready. I know you're ready, but I'm not ready. That is awesome. I wish I could have witnessed that.
Question, was part of the joke also being, now, I couldn't tell what it was. Is it that guy went out and did one warm-up pitch and was like, I'm ready? Or is it that he went out as though he was the starter and like, let's go, I'm ready?
I think part of the joke is like, I want to see this guy try and do his job with the minimal amount of warm-up when all these pitchers take the full allotment of pitches. And that's something that Max Scherzer, I think, he has probably dreamt of being able to tell somebody, like, I want to see you do this. And then for him to finally see it, he's sort of like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy's actually doing it.
He was like, I can't believe that was worth $1,000.
Yeah.
These relievers. I'm here being a Cy Young winner with all this money. Oh, God. Next story here. Veteran point guard Ish Smith was traded from the Wizards to the Nuggets this morning. If he suits up for Denver at any point next season, he'll set an NBA record for most teams played for.
That is a great accomplishment. That means 13 teams valued you. Now, they may not value you for long, right? You're going to move along. You might be a fill-the-hole type of guy, but I don't care. That means he has 13 team issue shirts and shorts and shoes, like things he can give to his family members. Like, that's a big deal, man. Stay in the league as long as you can. Play for 14 if you can.
I like the idea of playing for 14. Can I jump back to the prank that that Max Scherzer pulled? Bump, Curtis and I know you, but as we really get to know you a little more, what is the funniest prank someone has played on you, or one that you have played on someone else? Or bet. I would say like some kind of bet where it was like, yeah, go do this. And they actually did it.
The funniest prank someone's ever played on me. It wasn't funny at the time. So what we do is on Thursdays, it's like our walkthrough in college football. And you have to be on point. Like they call out certain special teams and first O, second O. And it was my freshman year. And if a guy isn't out there, like what the players do on the sideline, they'll like call for you, like, hey, get out there, get out there. So the only special team I did was punt return. And it wasn't even the punt return out there. It was the kickoff team. And the seniors yell, bump, bump, where you at? Run out there. So I run out on the field like I'm thinking it's punt return. The coach look at me like, they're cursing me out. You freshmen, get to the sideline, lock it in. It's a Thursday. And I went to the sideline. I'm like, for real, guys? But I of course, continued the tradition the next year. And,
yeah, of course.
And passed it along. But, yeah, that was rough.
Oh, that's a really tough one. Curtis, what about you?
Best prank ever pulled on me? I got to think about that because I'm usually the one kind of like pulling the strings.
How about pulling a prank on someone?
Pulling a prank on someone? Well, when we pranked Jake with the Chris Flexen interview.
We pranked Jake multiple times.
Yeah, which was great because he walked into him all the time.
Oh, constantly.
Unbeknownst to him that we were
going
to
fool
him.
He's too nice. He just takes everyone's word for it.
Getting back to the Taco Bell stuff, because I've been thinking about this all morning.
Curtis isn't done.
Outside of the show.
Yeah, of course.
Gun to your head, would you order this Cheez-It Tostada or Cheez-It Crunchwrap?
Yeah.
I absolutely would.
I don't need a gun to my head to do it. I'm going
to
do it after the show.
Wait,
is it out yet? Is it out now?
No, it's in a test market. So it's in like one specific restaurant.
Well, that market
in the entire,
better approve it.
Yeah, I guess we got to do a show from that restaurant.
We are live from a Taco Bell.
In the parking lot.
Just in, surrounded by Taco Bell food.
I would absolutely order it.
It's not even
close. Would I order it after ordering it the first time? Remains to be seen. But you got to try it at least once. I mean, Taco Bell, they have had some pretty out there creations. We mentioned the Dorito taco. They did a taco once where they just folded a piece of chicken and put like lettuce in the middle of it.
It was amazing.
I mean, respect to them for just going where no one dares to
so
go.
American.
Yeah,
so American.
When Kyrie Irving yesterday said that when you go
normal
in.
Normal people make the world go.
Yeah.
Special people. What did he say?
Yeah, when you think different, like
when you think different, you move us into tomorrow. Taco Bell is moving us into tomorrow. Over in the broadcast,
the
other broadcast,
they're
going to be like, "What are they talking about over there?" I'm screaming with the windows open. Taco Bell's moving us into tomorrow. All right, we are wrapping things up, you guys, because you have a matinee series finale between the Orioles and Mariners. We're taking you right to the pregame show that starts at noon, and then you're going to hear the first pitch at 1:10 p.m. today. So here's how we're going to wrap it up. I need your questions. Any question you have, text it right now to the Mac and Jacks text line. Save this number in your phone. It's going to be your call-in number as well, 206-421-3776. Send in your questions, any question, 206-421-3776. Your questions, our answers, next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. This is happening at 11:45 instead of 1:45 because Bump and I are heading out early today. We are taking you right into the Mariners pregame show. But let's get started with some of these questions from listeners, Bump. 206-421-3776, the Mac and Jack's text line. How long is Jerry DePoto's timeline for success? If this was supposed to be the year and it's not, how many more years of we're developing, we're developing, we're developing?
Well, this year's kind of tricky, right? You got a whole bunch of injuries, and you cannot ignore the injuries, right? We've been told 2022 is supposed to be the year, so I'm going to give him a pass this year, man. I think he has a couple more years, man. I think 2024, we don't see what we want to see by then. Then you start talking about it, but I think he's done a good job with the squad that he has so far. With everything that's surrounding this team, I'm okay with it. I know you guys are impatient out there, but yeah, I'm good with him. 2024. Yeah.
Add me to the list of impatient people, for sure. I think that I look at this season with realistic context, knowing that for whatever reason, they didn't add what they needed to in the offseason. Not knowing why, not knowing if that was people not wanting to come here, not enough money, if it was, I don't know, injury, whatever it was, people wanting different positions. You didn't add enough. I think the organization knew that. I can't blame one single person if I don't know why, but it's a problem either way. Mm-hmm. So the organization needs to find a way to bring in more talent, first of all. You got homegrown guys, but that isn't enough, right? We've seen that example of like the World Series winning teams that have homegrown guys as the core, but then brought in other talent to make themselves better. So I think that when I look at it, I've recognized that they are far behind this season. That this season they've been racked by injuries and just like horrible luck. But I almost want the expectation to still be the playoffs, because I want at the end of the season the conversation to be, okay, well, what needs to change? Why didn't they? What needs to be different in 2023? Rather than, well, there's always next year. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of mentality that I want.
Yeah.
In my mind, to look at it.
You want to see playoff potential on the field, right? Not necessarily, they might not make it. I mean, it's... with cards are stacked, odds are stacked against them right now, but you just want to feel like there's a possibility that this group could have done something if this wouldn't have happened, right? If these chain of events didn't happen. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you there, Stace.
What I need to know, now this one is for me, so I don't know if they're asking about reality TV, but both of us will respond. What are some good TV shows I can start watching?
Man. You know, I've been watching on Netflix. I started watching Peaky Blinders.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I started watching that. I'm in it now. That's what I'm on right now. I only do one show at a time. So right now I'm Peaky Blinders.
Oh, no, I do like five or six at a time. Because you got to have something. Not only that, you got to have something every time. But then you have to have something that you can't TV cheat. Because if you both watch a show, then you're TV cheating. You need another show that you can watch if that person isn't there. So that's why you need like three backup shows. I'm big on reality TV. I don't need to tell you guys that. Obviously, anything on Bravo. Love a good Netflix reality series. As far as actual shows, let's see. Peaky Blinders is a good one. There's all these classic, really good ones. I liked Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Dang it. Curtis, 30 for 30 is always good. There's just a new one that Curtis was talking about. He's distracted.
The one was about the Red Wings, right?
Yeah, 30 for 30 is a good kind of like, you can always put it on and be entertained with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to think of some shows. I'll get back to you. All right, next question here from a listener. Oh, this is a good one. What do you dislike more, Bump? Deliberate targeting or headhunting or blatant cheating? Like
deliberate targeting.
Yeah.
I don't like that because, you can hurt somebody. You can, like, end somebody's career doing that. Blatant cheating, everybody has cheated at some point in their lives. I'm not talking about on a spouse or anything like that, but in a game.
Something.
Like, someone has cheated. Everyone has cheated at some point in their lives to gain an advantage on competition. I think that, it's more common. But headhunting, that's, you're causing physical harm to somebody that you don't necessarily need to do. I don't like that.
Oh, I liked Yellow Jackets, unrelated.
Yellow Jackets.
I just finished that one. It was a good one. Speaking of food, before with your Taco Bell rant, if you were to lobby to add one Seattle area restaurant, I'll expand it to like greater Seattle Tacoma area, to T-Mobile Field's concession offerings, what would it be?
Man, back in Tacoma, there used to be this restaurant called Wingers, but I think it burned down. Wingers was awesome. It was also over in the Palouse back in my day. So I go Wingers.
Okay. I like that. It's already here. There are already teriyaki offerings here, but if anyone's familiar with Herphy's teriyaki, there used to be one. So I'm from SeaTac, Washington, and there was one there that isn't there anymore. I think it's a Panamanian restaurant now, which is still good, but it was like you could get teriyaki plus a milkshake and fries.
Herphy's, there's multiple locations across the Puget Sound. You can get anything. There.
You want a burger? You want chicken strips? You want teriyaki? You want a milkshake? Yeah, I always got a chocolate milkshake, chicken teriyaki, and fries. And it was, oh my God.
That combo
my
is
teenagehood.
Deadly. I love
it's that. It's amazing. All right. Hey, Stacey, have you had a donut bet with Bump yet? Yes, unfortunately.
We paid it off a couple days ago.
Yeah. If not, what will it be about? Let's make a new one.
Let's do it.
Let's make one. Let's go ahead and make one on this game. Let's take who's going to hit the first home run for the Mariners. I'll let you pick first.
First home run for the Mariners is going to go to... I'm going to go with the easy pick. I'm going with Cal. Cal's going to do it.
Cal, okay. I'm going to go... assuming Julio's still out there, I'm going to go a little safer. I'm going to go Julio.
Okay.
I'm going to say a Julio home run. I mean, that'd be, again, on a tear for him. But I don't know. I feel good about that kind of power.
All right.
What I need to know, food question here. All right, we were talking about wings.
Uh-huh.
Wings, or ribs?
Mmm. I gotta go with the wings, because you can do so much with wings. Like, there's so many different flavors. Like, you can get fancy with the wings. I gotta go with the wings.
Yeah, it's wings for me, with a gap before ribs. I love ribs, but there are a few things in this world better than chicken wings, and I'll stand by that. What I need to know, would a box of baby pacifiers or little bibs be a better item to rain down on Angels players when they come here next? Thanks, Joseph.
Pacifiers, because you can get more velocity, more velo.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can get some distance.
Yeah.
You can dress yourself up in an Angels jersey, put a bib on.
Yeah.
I'm not.
But if you throw a bib, it's just going to kind of float down to the field.
I am not advocating for any of this. Okay, I just want to make that clear.
But you're not going to.
That being said, bubblegum and sunflower seed packages would be funny.
Yeah.
Again, don't throw things on players. Don't make a mess. The people working here have to clean it up. It's not fair. But I'm just saying that would be what I would hypothetically do.
If I were in that spot
to do it, which I will not be doing. All right. This has been Bump and Stacy. You guys have so many good questions. If you sent one in, I'm going to save some of these for tomorrow when we will be back with a full show. Today, though, we're cutting things short because
we got a hard out. Stop talking.
Yeah. We're going to take you guys straight into the Mariners pregame show. A couple things I need to remind you about. We had some roster moves. Taylor Trammell is down. He is going to be on the 10-day IL. Just as a reminder for you guys, if you don't see him out there today, that is why. Bump and I have a bet today. We'll see whether
Cal
hits the first home run, whether Julio hits the first home run. Loser brings in donuts. Either way, Curtis wins. Typical Curtis.
Yes.
All right, you guys, stay tuned right here to Seattle Sports Station on 710 AM. The Mariners Orioles series finale is coming your way next with a noon pregame show. 1:10 PM first pitch. Don't go anywhere.